Hey everyone, it's Andy Bueller, statewide high school sports reporter and host of the Scorebook Live Today podcast. The coronavirus has shut down schools and halted high school sports, so we're going to take things up a notch here at Scorebook Live. Each day our own Dan Dickow is going to have on a new guest to this very podcast as a part of a special podcast series in addition to our weekly episode tackling the top stories across the state. The best way to keep up with that and what we do is head to scorebooklive.com/Washington, your home for Washington High School sports coverage, and subscribe to this podcast for free. Head to wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, or a couple examples. Look up Scorebook Life Today, hit subscribe, and while you're there, leave us a rating, a comment. It really helps us do what we do. Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch.
Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live, Washington, on the podcast today with Coach Scott Ornes from North Kitsap, coming off of his fifth season at North Kitsap after spending a number of years at Bainbridge. Coach, you just wrapped up your season, won the 2A state title at the Yakima Dome. Give us a little bit of reflection on the season that just finished up.
Yeah, I think this last season really started with us sitting in the Sun Dome a year ago when we lost the fourth sixth place game to Clarkston, and it was really a bit of a disappointing finish for us. We lost to both Renton and Clarkston, who we beat in districts and the state regional, and at that moment we knew we were returning just about everybody, and we set some pretty high goals for ourselves, so... That's kind of where it started, and you know, it's been a long journey since then, from, you know, playing a really tough summer league schedule and, you know, going over to Gonzaga team camp and asking them to put us in the top bracket possible with all the 4A schools and the big schools around the Northwest, and we ended up finishing in the top four over there. I think that gave us a lot of confidence, and then getting into a tough non-league schedule and, you know, just, you know, one game at a time, focusing in on, and then we're sitting there on Saturday playing for the golden ball. So, but there's a lot in between for sure.
The best players, the best coaches always tend to take a moment to reflect on a positive or a negative experience. You mentioned a season ago a couple frustrating losses at the Sun Dome to finish the season. Was there a message that you can remember clearly delivering to your team after the state tournament a season ago, or was there maybe a message that any of your players gave to each other to get ready for the upcoming season?
Yeah, we last year had a strong junior class and a strong freshman class. And so, you know, the idea of us getting to the Sun Dome was going to be important, especially for our freshmen, to be able to have a great year this year. And the message after that loss to Clarkston was really just look at this opportunity we have. In that, I remember specifically us talking about we want to be able to sit down whenever our season ends the following year and be able to look each other in the eye and know that we've all done everything we could to whatever the result was, you know, whether we won a state title or whether we didn't make it back to the Dome or not, it happens. But we wanted to be able to look each other in the eye and be able to say, hey, we did this. We got in the weight room. We put the time in. You know, we did all the little things that great programs do. So that was the underlying message coming into the season for sure, and at that moment last year.
You mentioned also, you know, putting together a really great summer schedule. How important is that to you at a smaller school where many times I'm sure you have multi-sport athletes, but having a summer schedule that players, parents buy into being a part of to prepare you for the upcoming season?
Yeah, and it's a big commitment from where we live, so it's going to involve either, you know, an hour and a half drive to a tournament or a ferry ride, which is time and money for families. And so, yeah, we play in a, you know, we'll play in a Franklin tournament, the Curtis tournament, any of the big tournaments against as big a school as possible to get us ready. Our league is you know, it's solid, but it's not, it's got a few great, good teams, but we end up playing everybody twice, and so we end up having some pretty easy games, especially with the team I had this year. But, you know, also looking back, I had to kind of do a lot of self-reflection myself of, like, why aren't my guys performing at their best in the toughest moments? And so I think two of the, you know, I started listening to a few podcasts and trying to figure out how I can get my guys to perform, and there's no easy answer to that, but, you know, I had a lot to learn. Even though I've been doing this coaching thing for 20 years, I felt I probably had my biggest growth in the offseason, too, to help us get to where we were. So that was fulfilling individually, and I know, and I think that's one of our things in our program that creates the culture that we like is, you know, we're always learning, whether you're a coach that's 44 years old or an 18-year-old senior. It's real important to keep that growth mindset going.
Yeah, this is an important time for a growth mindset, unfortunately, with everything going on in the world these days with the coronavirus and kids not being in school, youth sports organizations and events being shut down. How do you as a coach, as a leader, as a mentor to players on your team and a leader in your community, how are you trying to, one, kind of best prepare your program for when the time is right, but also stay connected to the players in your program when you can't physically be there encouraging them daily in the gym or the weight room or the classroom?
Yeah, I think, we got back from feeling on top of the world, and in 5 days, you know, school's being shut down. And so that was the first, I think, biggest hurdle for us moving forward is, like, we wanted to celebrate the season and then have some closure to it and then move on. And, like, we're just kind of in this strange limbo where maybe other programs are moving on already. And I know my younger guys are starting to. But, yeah, we connect via whether it's text or, email or other ways and social media about what kids are up to, you know, trying to do just a lot of body weight workouts and working on ball handling if they don't have a hoop nearby or getting out. So just trying to encourage them to get outside and do those things. I know, like, Chris Hippa just put out a 28-day ball handling challenge. So, you know, we've got a few guys that are doing that right now as well. So, you know, just trying to provide opportunities. But, you know, I think, you know, I mean, you're an elite player, obviously, and those players that are really good, it's hard for them to stay away from basketball. And I'm lucky I've got some players in our program that, you know, start chomping at the bit, and they've got to get a ball in their hands in some way, shape, or form, whether it's in their garage on a rainy day doing ball handling or hitting their driveway or a local park to get shots up. So, you know, I feel like we got guys that are doing that, which is I'm pretty fortunate because that's not the norm. I've really only had maybe 10 total players in my 20 years that are like that. I'm lucky to have guys coming back that are like that.
You've mentioned big-time buy-in from your current group of players, but it's also when you look at this is your fifth season. Before we started recording on the podcast, you mentioned that you've got a youth program that has really started to show some positive signs of developing a successful high school program. How important is your youth program to feed the players with the correct fundamentals up into their high school years?
Yeah, my sophomore group, who has a bunch of studs in it, they were the start of what was called Drive Basketball. And when I took over 5 years ago, that was kind of, I had actually started a program called Roots, Bainbridge Roots Basketball in my last 2 years at Bainbridge. And when I got kind of talked into moving over and getting things going in Kitsap, that was part of the deal, and I was lucky to have a group of parents say, hey, we'll start this nonprofit, do all the legwork, if you kind of take the lead on organizing it. And so our youngest group were fifth graders at the time, and that included Jonas Latour, Johnny Olmsted, Bobby Sievers, who transferred over to Glacier Peak, but all these really good players, and yeah, we've had some great youth coaches teach them fundamentals, but it also, you know, in our, where we live, we don't have great competition. It's mostly Parks and Rec or Pee Wee Leagues, and so it allows these kids to get outside of Kitsap and go play against, you know, teams from Seattle, Tacoma, Vancouver, all of Bellingham, all over the I-5 corridor, and be able to, you know, measure their skill and talent against them, which I think has really pushed them to develop their fundamental skills. So I think sometimes they're kind of a big fish in a small pond over here, and then they get outside, we go to districts or state, and boom, we get, you know, we find out what kind of players are out there. So it's really starting to pay off, and I think that group of sophomores this year is, you know, they haven't all stuck around like they have, you know, they've all stuck together, and some groups haven't, but we're starting to see those benefits.
With you having coached in the Metro League with Bainbridge for a number of years and branching out and playing in a number of summer tournaments and camps, really quickly to put you on the spot, give me your three best head coaches. Well, to say three best is difficult, but give me three head coaches across the state that you think do a tremendous job in what you try to learn from them each time you face them.
Oh, wow. That has put me on the spot a little bit. There's some really great coaches in Washington State. I could go back to a coach that's not coaching anymore, Pat Sitterer, who's been at multiple schools but was successful everywhere. And I remember in my younger years, you know, at Central Washington Team Camp, you know, him just kind of taking me under his wing a little bit and teaching me a few things. You know, and I really appreciate coaches like that. There's a guy named Greg Kalina who was a head coach, but he was a longtime assistant at O'Day, and he still just trains kids now, but he's another guy, and I know those guys aren't coaching right now. A guy that's coaching right now that really, actually I got to know when he was at Kingston High School, is Blake Conley down at Union, and I was hoping he'd stay because I think my son would be playing for him. I thought he'd be playing for him in the future. And so I was really trying to help him develop a youth program, and then he, you know, took the Union job. But Blake does a great job, and he went from being kind of the younger guy, and I was a little bit of a mentor to him, to now, you know, we're able to bounce a lot of ideas off each other. We got the opportunity to play against them this year. You know, Tim Kelly at Curtis consistently has good teams, and he does it the right way. Gosh, you know, Scott Campbell at Puyallup, you know, he's a system coach, which I think is a really hard thing to do in high school. I'm not necessarily a system coach. I always look at my talent and go, how can I get the most out of my talent? Because I think being a 2A school, that's just how it works. But Scott runs his dribble drive and sticks to a system. He has his kids in his Viking Elite program, youth program, running his system all the way down to fourth or fifth grade. So there's just a couple out there but that I just named, but I know there's a lot more. So.
Yeah, you definitely named some really good coaches across the state. And as I've asked that to a number of coaches, whether in an interview situation like this or just kind of off the record, very few coaches can just pinpoint one or two because of the quality of coaches in the state of Washington. So, Coach, again, we appreciate the time. Congrats on the state title. Best of luck to you, your family, in your program in these uncertain times, and we look forward to getting basketball back going in the state of Washington when the time is right.
All right, well, thank you.
All right.